Us in the book of Acts, chapter 22, Acts 22, again, verses 4 through 13, Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 13, Saul is talking and says, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go to Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. I want to wrap up my thoughts today from that title, After a Divine Encounter. After a Divine Encounter. Can anybody testify that since you've met Jesus, there's been a change in your life? I said, can anybody testify that since you've met Jesus, there's been a change in your life? That was the case with Saul. Prior to his meeting the Lord, he was such a terror to the church. But after his divine encounter, he became preacher, teacher, apostle, writer of scripture for the church. And I'm here to tell you that no matter how jacked up you think your life may be now, after God get his hands on you, it's an altogether different situation. And so we've been talking these last few weeks about being mindful of persecution, divine encounters, and responses. Under persecution, we said that when we mistreat the church, we mistreat Jesus. And the church is made of the people and the pastor. We talked about this notion of passive persecution. When you fail to do the good that you are able to do, that is a form of persecution and surely sin. Even the piano thinks so. Amen. Then we talked about divine encounters, and we talked about how in spite of all of our sins, God still wants to talk to us and use us in his service. And God can talk by way of the miraculous. He often talks by way of ordinary means. And when these things don't work, he can use pain. But thank God, we don't have to resort to pain if we just hear and obey the word of the Lord. Talked about how sometimes God speaks to us individually, and therefore you can't always ask your neighbor about what God is saying to you. They can't hear or understand what God is saying to you. We moved on to talk about divine encounters, and there I said that the church should help people with worship, study, work, and fellowship to have a divine encounter. Cabinet members ought to help people have a divine encounter because just as hard as we're trying to sow a seed, the devil is trying to pluck a seed. Can I get one witness? As hard as we're trying to help people grow up, the devil is trying to pull people back down. And therefore, the church ought to be helpful. Then we said under responses, it was a noble question, Lord, what would you have me to do? But before you or I ask that question, we might want to do what we already know the Lord wants us to do. You wouldn't want additional assignments before you've already carried out the assignments in hand. So we already know God wants us to be saved. We already know that God wants us to love him with all we have and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That brings us up then to today's sermon. I want you to pay attention to the fact that God can send a word to us through people. Would you say through people? Yes. Now, on the Damascus Road, we have this miraculous encounter with God. But after the miraculous encounter, the Lord uses an ordinary encounter. Saul's instructions for ministry did not come from a mysterious voice up in the sky somewhere, but it came through a man by the name of Ananias. And you and I ought to be open to whatever way God wants to communicate with us. Now, this is important because there are many people who miss out on what God is trying to tell them because they discount whatever people have to say. And I'm telling you that sometime God can use people to bring you a word. And too oftentimes we suffer unnecessary pain and heartache in our life because we will not hear what God is saying through people. Y'all remember Moses was trying to tell the Israelites, just hear and obey the word of God. And they would not hear what God was saying through to Moses. And therefore, they end up spending 40 years in the wilderness instead of 40 days in the wilderness. Y'all remember Noah, Noah's ark? What if those people would have heard what God was saying through Noah? So many drowning deaths and so much drama could have been avoided. When you and I look back over our life, we must admit that there's been times when God was trying to get us to understand something through people, and perhaps we were so distracted by the messenger that we missed the message. Somebody could have been saved. Somebody could be at a higher level of loving people, worshiping God, giving to a good work, but we find ourselves distracted. Now, come on, let's tell the whole truth. Sometimes we live distracting lives as messengers. Who has not heard of a preacher doing stuff he shouldn't be doing? Deacons that say stuff they shouldn't be saying. Members who frequent places they ought not frequent. Sometimes the messenger's life can be distracting. But I say to everybody in the room, just like we look past distracting messengers and get the message in other areas of our life, we need to do that and even more when it comes to the message of God. Let me illustrate. Most of us have been to a bank at some point in our life and ran into a bank clerk that we really didn't care too much for. It may have been she didn't smile enough, she didn't say good morning, it was something about the clerk really didn't rub us the right way, but we didn't get so distracted that we left the bank before we got our monies. Yeah, it would have been nice if she smiled some more. I don't like the fact she didn't smile, but in spite of the fact she didn't smile, I'm going to stay right here until I get my monies. See how you look past that distraction and got what you came for? And then others have gone to restaurants and the hostess or the service really didn't do us the way we wanted to be done, but we were so hungry, we said, I ain't going nowhere till I get my chicken. I said, my chicken. Amen. I'm not going nowhere until I get my piece of chicken that I done paid for. And then others have gone to the mechanic shop and we've had to pay the cashier who didn't have the best customer service skills, but because we needed our brakes service, our oil change, the transmission fluid change, whatever we went there for, we endured. We looked past the little cashier and got the service that we came there to receive. I am saying if you can do it in other areas of your life, you ought to do it even more so when it comes down to the message of God. Hear the word of God by whatever means God wants to send his word. And to just nail this point home, I remind you every time you rejoice about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I remind you a murderer wrote those words. Mm-hmm. Every time you talk about the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? I remind you an adulterer wrote those words. Every time you talk about fret not yourself because of evildoers, I remind you that David had several wives. You miss out. When you say, I'm just not going to listen to people, I'm telling you that sometimes God uses people to get a word to you. And that word he sends to us, he wants us to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Can somebody say doers? Mm-hmm. Don't be like Saul's company, the people who were with Saul. They give no evidence of ever being changed by what happened on the Damascus Road. They were close, but not changed. And I'm challenging you to make sure you are not guilty of getting close to the word, but not changed by the word. Somebody sitting up in here today has been to church a number of times, and you've gotten real close to the word, but it has not changed your life. You heard something, you saw something, but it was not transformative in your life. It did not change you. God is not calling us to just be familiar with some fuzzy experience that happened in church. God is calling us to hear and obey his word. Now, can't you just look around church and see that we need some more folk to be doers of God's word? The Reverend soon-to-be Dr. Dan Larkin preached at the 46th session of the Gospel Music Workshop of America just this week and reminded us that it's time to move from just sitting around the table to giving sacrificial service to the Master. You don't have to be a prophet to see that we need some more folk to step up and be willing to take on leadership in our church. We are thankful for Moses, but can't y'all see we need to be grooming Joshua to step up. We're thankful for Elijah, but we need an Elijah to be in the wing getting ready to step up. We're thankful for the work of Paul, but it's time to be working on a Timothy to keep this thing going when we all have to go and take our rest. Ministry, teaching ministry has to go on, but it can only go on with those who are doers of God's word. But how many of y'all know life is bigger than the church? The family needs some doers of God's word. When men are doers of God's word, we make better husbands. We make better fathers. We make better sons. We make better uncles. We make better cousins and nephews. The word will make you a better man. The word will make you a better woman. It'll make you a better wife, a better mother, a better daughter, a better aunt. The word will even impact our children. That's why we spend so much time with children's ministry and youth ministry, because we believe if we can get the word in them early enough, then the Lord will have plenty of time to provide the increase. The word would help our children understand you ought to honor and obey your parents, for it is the first command with promise. If we were doers of God's word in our family, then we would understand generational wealth instead of generational debt. Y'all knew I had to put money up in here somewhere. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13, 22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. That means their grandchildren. We got our hands full trying to leave something for our children. But the book says a good person, I believe the King James says a wise person, a wise man, I think is what the King James says. NIV says a good person leaves an inheritance not just for their children, but for their children's children. That's what happened when we are doers of God's word. But listen to the B portion of that verse. It says, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. But then the world is even bigger than our family. We need doers in our church. We need doers in our family. But we also need doers in our community. We need people who understand that we've been saved so we can be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need people who are trying to reproduce Barack Obama's and Oprah Winfrey's as opposed to reproducing thugs. Yeah. That's what I said. The word will challenge you to live at your maximum and not at your minimum. It is discouraging to have a black family in the White House and to see so many young folk who, instead of aspiring to be like Barack Obama or to be like a billionaire like Oprah Winfrey, they want to be a devilish thug. They want to walk around with their pants, and I guess y'all can tell this really bothers me. They walk around, now this is just stupid. This is just stupid here. They walk around with their pants hanging all the way off their behind with a belt on. Now you know that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. That's not cool. That's just stupid. So they want a belt because they don't want the pants to fall all the way down. They just want it to fall up under their behind, but not on the floor. Folk didn't have dogs sicked on them, fire hoses turned on them. Folk didn't get lynched. Women didn't get raped so you can walk up and down the street and act, see how foolish you can act. There's nothing cool about being a high school dropout. Do you know how much work has gone into you being able to get an education? And you spit on their grave. Talking about, I don't need to go to school. Talking about, I want some money, I'm entitled. Shucks. And I guess you can tell, and if you haven't figured it out, just keep on living. The race car is becoming weaker and weaker. Whatever you think America is going to pay you for being black, you might as well understand they're not going to pay that. But let me just help you, because some of us think it's racism and it's really just poor character. If you get paid to be on the clock at 9 o'clock and you keep strolling yourself up in here at 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30, the reason you got fired is not racism, that's called late-ism. You get fired around here if you just can't get here on time. And so therefore, this word in us ought to be good for more than just jumping and shouting on Sunday morning. But it ought to help us make a positive impact in our community. The word in us ought to help us find a way to get it into our young people that, look, you got too many opportunities before you for you to settle for such dysfunctional and unproductive behavior. The word in us ought to make us drum majors for justice. We ought not be happy just having our piece of the pie and tell everybody else, go get yours as best you can. But you ought to understand that we've been blessed so we can be a blessing to somebody else. I go a step further and tell us that we need to do it now. We don't have time to waste. Now, if we were to interview those who were hanging around Saul, perhaps they would say, the reason why I did not accept Christ is because I did not hear the voice, and if I heard it, I didn't understand what it was all about. Well, if that's your rationale, I don't understand. I would challenge you to quickly understand, because your ignorance is not going to take any heat out of hell. Your ignorance is not going to take any heat out of hell. I don't want you to think you're going to be able to tell the Lord, well, Lord, I probably would have accepted Jesus, but I just didn't understand all that Jesus stuff. You know, I had all those other religions, and, you know, it was just confusing, and I just didn't understand it. The Lord going to say, okay, so go, hell is over there, heaven is over here. You ought not think that because I know ignorance of the law is no excuse. And then maybe there are others who say, well, I would get with this Jesus stuff, and I still might, but not right now. Perhaps this is the great excuse of younger people, because as young people, we, notice how I done put myself up in we young people, we tend to think we got forever and a day to live. But I remind us that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. If you don't believe me, ask Trayvon Martin about your ability to be gone at a real young age. But then perhaps the greatest excuse I hear is, Reverend, I know Jesus is good and God is good, and you just got to do the best you can with church. But the problem I have is my sins. My life is too jacked up. I'm too messed up. I got to get myself together, and then maybe after I get myself together, then I might try some of that Jesus and church stuff you're talking about. Listen. If you could get yourself together, we wouldn't be here. The reason we are here is because we couldn't get ourselves together, but we came and met somebody who's still in process of getting us together. Some of us been here for decades and we still not together. I don't know what make you think you're gonna get yourself together. And here is a marvelous case study. Saul was on his way to go and do dirt, and the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. You ought not think that Saul was on his way to prayer meeting and Bible study and the Lord called him to be a preacher. No, he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church. But when the Lord got his hands on him, how many of y'all know it was a different story? I close when I tell you that serving is so much better than persecuting. Y'all still here? First thing I tried to tell you today was God works through people. Second thing I tried to tell you was God wants us to be a doer of his word. I'm coming in now. Serving is so much better than persecuting. When you and I serve the Lord, when we give God our very best in service, the Lord is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. Now, yes, he can, even though he does not always, but he can give us stuff. He's able to put money in our pocket. He's able to put a shelter over our head. He's able to give us a good job. He's able to bless us with a profitable business. And it would be easy to shout about all of the stuff that God can give us. But come on, let's go a little further down this road of blessing. The Lord can also bless us with relationships. He can put good people in our life to be a friend in the time of need. He can put good people in our life who can stick closer than a brother. And then as you go even further down this road of blessing, you discover the Lord can bless your health. How many of y'all know it's just a blessing to have your health and strength? Or the older I get, the more thankful I am just to have some health and strength. Every time I want to complain about what birthdays are doing to my body, I see somebody else who is struggling alone so much worse than I am. Every time I want to complain about how it looked like I'm going to have to get some devilish bifocals, I see somebody walking down the street with a cane that can't see anything. It's a blessing to have health and strength. I've seen so many of my members work hard all of their life, and by the time they got to the golden years and wanted to kick back and enjoy some of the gold that they had earned in their life, they were so broke down that they couldn't hardly enjoy the money that they had earned. If you can get up and walk from here to the parking lot and your ankles don't hurt, your knees don't hurt, your hips don't hurt, you really don't understand how blessed you really are. If you can get up in the morning and swing your legs, and if you can't swing them, just place them. just place them on the side of the bed. If you can make it to the restroom without a walking cane, you don't know how blessed you really are. But keep on coming down the road of blessing. Past the stuff, past the relationships, past the health, you'll find that the Lord can bless your mind. I said the Lord can bless your mind. He can give you peace of mind, and he can give you joy on the journey, and he can give you hope beyond what you can see. I just need a minute to hang out here. I said the Lord can give you peace. In fact, the Bible says it's a peace that transcends all understanding. Children, listen now. There are times in life that things just don't make any sense. But the Lord can give you peace in the midst of unanswered questions. And then the Lord can give you joy on the journey. Can I get anybody to just say joy? He can give you joy on the journey. It doesn't always make us happy, but he can give us joy. The difference between happiness and joy is the source of our glad spirit. Let me put it like this, children. In order to be happy, the right things have to happen in your life. When the right things happen, it's easy to be happy. But what I learned about serving the Lord is that even when the right things don't happen, he can still give me joy down in my heart. Joy is a glad spirit that says I have joy in the Lord, even when I don't have joy in my circumstances. I'm glad about being in Jesus. I'm not glad about overdue bills. I'm not glad about arthritis. I'm not glad about people getting on my nerves. But I am glad that I know that God is still working it out. I gotta keep moving, children. Not only will the Lord give me peace, and not only will He give me joy, but God will give you hope that goes beyond what you can see. How hopeless my life would be if all I had going for me was the Democratic Party. How hopeless my life would be if all I had going for me was the stock market or the real estate market. But I'm so glad I got something that's stronger and more trustworthy than what I can see. I got the Lord who's still working all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. I hope you heard me tell you that no matter how jacked up you think your life is, if you could just get yourself in the hands of the Lord, the Lord can turn your whole life around. I don't care how bad you've messed up. God can pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on a high ground. The same God who used Saul, He can use you. Oh yes, it can. Now I gotta close here, but I promised three people they got 2 minutes each. Just say what you're gonna say and move along. Here comes the first witness about what God can do after a divine encounter. Come on, Jacob. Don't take all day. You got 2 minutes to tell the folk what God can do. Jacob would tell you, I was born a trickster. I was born a heel grabber. But after the Lord got finished with me, He changed my name from Jacob to Israel. And He blessed me to have 12 sons that turned into the 12 tribes of Israel. I know the Lord can change your life. Thank you, Israel. Come on, Sister Rahab. You got 2 minutes now. Don't take all name. Rahab would tell you, my life was jacked up from the floor up before I had a divine encounter. I was a prostitute. I was a liar. And I was a Gentile. But after the Lord got His hands on me, He changed my whole life. Oh yes, He did. I was born on the wrong side of the covenant. I lied about the spies, and even the Bible
called me a prostitute. But look at Hebrews chapter 11. This chapter is called the Hall of Faith. And as you read all of the big names in Hebrews chapter 11, yes, there's Abraham, and yes, there's Moses, and yes, there's David, and yes, there's Samuel. But zoom in to chapter 11 and verse 31, and you'll find Rahab made it into the Hall of Faith. That's what the Lord can do in your life. But there's one more witness. I said there's one more witness. Come on, Peter. You got 2 minutes. Peter would tell you, I used to be a fisher of fish. I used to be the one who denied the Lord in the courtyard. But when the Lord got through with me, I was feeding his sheep. I was feeding his lamb. I was telling a man at the gate, beautiful, silver and gold have I not. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's all, children. I gotta finish here now. I want you to hear me loud and hear me clear. No matter how messed up your life may be, God still loves you and has a marvelous plan for your life. Your life can be totally different after a divine encounter. If you put yourself in the hands of the man from Galilee, he can turn your whole life around. Can I please read just a little of this verse of a hymn? The hymn writer says, be not dismayed, whatever be tied, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. The second verse says, through days of toil, when hard do it fail, don't worry about it, God will take care of you. When dangers fears your path to sell, don't worry about it, God will take care of you. Let me read the last verse. No matter what may be the text, God will take care of you. Now I really like this part here. It says lean, 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 weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you through every day, over all the way, he will take care of you. I wonder, is it anybody here who's ever tried my Lord and can testify from your own experience that God may not come when you want him. He may not come the way you want him, but you can trust him to be right there
right on time with the right stuff. Won't he take care? Won't he take care? Oh, won't he take care of you? Help me say yes. Help me say yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He will. I said he will take care of you. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. You have a choice. God loves you. People may have written you off, but God loves you. Your family may have given up on you. Your man may not want you. Your woman may not want you, but God loves you. Your children may not want to be bothered with you. Parents may have abandoned you, but God still loves you and has a marvelous plan for your life. And the reason you can come is because God has plans for you. It doesn't matter what kind of shape you come to him in, because he's able to change your life. After a divine encounter, you would be shocked to see what God can do through you. But you got to make this decision for yourself. And we invite you to come and get right with God while you have the time. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. The door is open. If you know you need the Lord in your life, if you know you need to get yourself in church, if you know it's time to come back home, we invite you to just step out of now and come on and get your business fixed today. It just don't make no sense to be in church this long and then leave the same way you came. If you know you need the Lord, if you know it's time to get back in church, just step out of now and come on today. Bless you, my brother. If you know you need to come, just come on right now. Just step out in the aisle and come on right now.